And do appreciate so much the folks in the first service who a large number are getting here at 9:05. And many of them are here by 9, so it makes it so much easier on the service when they come on time. And I'm being faithful and being a good boy, letting them out at 10:20, 10:21, not later than 10:22, which is a major miracle for a pastor who always thinks he's got more to say. And so it makes so much difference in the nursery and in the parking lot when they get that extra 4 to 5 minutes to clear it out and let you in. So thank you for your help and understanding. Now, the end is not yet. We'll have this eastern exit clogged for, not usable for till next year. And then it'll be real fun. We'll see how really spiritual we are and how committed we are when they dig up 156 in Dodge and we have one lane. Now, we will do all we can to make that commodious, but let us be committed people, and that's a small inconvenience for the joy of gathering in His name. Amen? Amen. Indeed, indeed. Please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking again on steps to the throne of God. God has a wonderful destiny for you. He's got throne rights and throne ministry for eternity set up for you and wants you to get your throne preparation and preparation for throne reigning and living and ministering in heaven by your throne rights now, as found in Ephesians chapter 6. It's not some little thing you think about now and then. I want you to know as we look at this, we'll read it first. Chapter 6, verse 10. Follow in your Bible, please. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Now, this is not governments, not human governments per se. It's demonic and fallen angel demonic authorities that are called these names. They may or may not work through human governments. But we're wrestling against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and having done all to stand. Now, I'm not going to be dramatic, and I don't intend to be. But I want you to know that certain occultic people in this city have tried to curse this church. And if that's a little startling to you, don't be startled, though it's the first time in my ministry that I know about it. And therefore, what I'm sharing with you this morning is not just some little la-di-da that I don't know what else to preach on, so I try this. This is standard. And there's an interesting thing. There's a sermon that should be preached entitled, Known in Hell. There were some people who watched Paul deliver people from demonic forces, and they thought, man, I can make a lot of money doing that. So these people, the seven sons of Sceva, went out and tried delivering a demon-possessed man, the book of Acts, whereupon the demoniac rose up in unholy horror and beat the living daylights out of every one of those seven men to try and pull the name of Jesus on him because they were unbelievers trying to do it. And the demon spoke out of the demoniac and said to the seven sons of Sceva, Paul, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you, seven sons of Sceva? Now, it's a compliment to be known in hell. And I say if someone wants to try and put an occultic curse on the staff or the church here, have at it. We have shared this with our staff this past week, and we've done two things, and I want you to do it too. We have, first of all, taken the power in the name of Christ to break those curses. Number two, to do what the Bible says, bless them that curse you. And we've prayed for the salvation and blessing of those who have so done. Now, that's not to make you and me nervous. That's to let you know this is what it's all about. And that first time in my life, I've said this in 40 years of ministry. So if you're visiting this morning and think I'm on a devil witch hunt, I am not. But this is the truth. Nor do I want you being naively tiptoeing through the tulips for Jesus somewhere and not knowing this stuff goes with it, okay? Because when there's something more than the natural, you better know what you're talking about, and Jesus wants you to be aware of the authority of His name and the power of His blood. Someone say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, giving attention to the good word of God that speaks on these things. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And please notice that even in warfare, we have the gospel of peace. Know why? Because sandals are what you stand on. And what you stand on in your spiritual life is what gives you peace in the middle of the conflicts. And Paul was used to seeing hobnail sandals wrapped around the shins with greaves, metal greaves on the shins, so that the soldier, the legionnaire, could move quickly from one point of attack to another, and he could stand firm. You got to understand, I'll talk about it later. I hope I get to it. Now, from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And that doesn't mean people have gone to heaven. That means believers on earth. The people in heaven don't need your prayers. They might hear them, but they don't need them. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, praise God, and pray that I may declare the gospel fearlessly as I should. Now, we pointed out last week that we are to take the whole armor of God, that these are divine attitudes whereby they act as spiritual power. I love to read what little children think about Jesus and God. And I read this past week. Stuff is true. I always consider it true. Unless I tell you it's a story, I'll tell you it's a story. But the rest of the stuff is true, okay? Truth is stranger than fiction. And the teacher, the Sunday school teacher, was telling the little class, now I want you to know that Jesus is with you. And they'd always be there to help you, even though you can't see him. Oh, the little boy says, I know that. He's the one that opens up the doors in the supermarket when we go in. Divine help, always present. Next time you go in the market and the door's open, say, thank you, Jesus. Not for the doors, just for who you are, for your help, all right? For the evil day. Now, we noted again principalities and powers and authorities and spiritual hosts of powers in evil and wicked places. These are great principalities that tend to rule areas and can or cannot rule in governments of the world. The Germans are tremendous people, energetic, creative, engineers, brilliant. The Japanese, look what they are in the market with all their trade. But you know what happens? When a principality, an evil principality or power, gets access to the governmental leaders of any nation, you're in for hell. The Third Reich in Germany was a demon-possessed, principality-driven wickedness with Hitler in the whole thing. And soon became another principality in Japan for World War II. And we've got lovely Germans and Japanese people in this church, so we love them. They're fine, fine people. And our country could become a glove for the hand of the evil one as quickly as any other government, but for the grace of God. Now, when Roger Forrest was with us, he told us that before World War II, Germany and Britain were the two largest missionary sending agencies in the world. Huh. Well, what's World War II? Germany will fight England and cut off the missionary supply. Would you see that on the higher level? You see what I'm talking about? This is principalities and power stuff way up there. Down here, with people spilling their blood for this thing, but up here's where it starts. Since World War II, America has taken that position of being the largest missionary sending agency. Now, as you know, we'll vote on Tuesday. And I was very, very happy with the number of people who knew the phrase and term I'm going to use in just a minute. How many have heard of the Enola Gay? I'm very, very happy about that. The Enola Gay was the name of the United States American bomber that carried the first bomb, atomic bomb to Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And I want you young people to hear me now, because I'm weary of this. 85% of the cost of the Smithsonian Institute is paid by your tax dollar. I've been to the Smithsonian. It's an incredible place. I could spend 3 days there. It is to be the repository of American history and accuracy and science and so forth. The front fuselage of the Enola Gay is being put into the Smithsonian Institute, where it should be. It was a historic moment. Once that bomb was invented, it changed all of life. The people in charge of putting the write-ups around this thing, when they first began, they said, well, America, it casts as an absolutely the dirty guy job. This bomb was used to help to almost wipe out another culture. Wait a minute. Where were these clowns December 7th, 1941, when Pearl Harbor was ripped by a sneak attack? I mean, when all the World War II veterans die, there'll be soon enough time to lie about the whole situation. And all our young kids running through the Smithsonian are going to think, look, let me tell you one trick of the devil on America to try and get us down the tube. He wants to get us to hate ourselves. Amen. And to tell you there's nothing worth fighting for, and there's nothing worth certainly dying for. You'll just die of your own rot. Now, we can die on the inside from our own rot. That incredible culture under Alexander the Great was the Greek culture 300 years before Christ, was captured eventually, and Alexander the Great was one of the five greatest generals that ever lived, period. The Roman Republic and then empire was an incredible thing. There was morality. I mean, I read somewhere, I can't remember it now, that the Roman Republic went like 100 and whatever some years, and there wasn't one recorded divorce in the whole country. They weren't even Christians. They knew moral values, they knew family values, and they said, this keeps the Republic doing good. Now, it wasn't sinless, and neither is America. We have our crimes, and we have our sins, and we have our hypocrisies. I don't think I'm not aware of our own weaknesses and sins. But the Romans captured the whole Greek culture and defeated them. And then the Greeks turned around and captured the Romans, not militarily. The Romans militarily captured the Greeks. Then the Greeks turned around and captured the Romans and brought them down to defeat by their sexual perversity and looseness, and spread it through all the austere honesty that the Roman Empire had come to be from the Republic into the Empire. And eventually Rome dropped of its own weight. That's the threat on America, any nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but every nation that forgets God will be cast down into hell. It took 10 people to save Sodom and Gomorrah. God couldn't find 10. I don't know how many it'll take to save America. And I'm not making America the covenant nation with God. There's only one nation in the world that ever had a covenant with God, and that was the Jewish nation. Yeah, you say, listen, I'm into history, okay, as much as I can get into it. What about the Mayflower Compact? The first document signed in the back of the Mayflower before the pilgrims and those from the trading company came on board at Plymouth. They did make a compact with God. They made a covenant with God. But now hear me. That does not mean that God made a covenant with them. And the difference is night and day. You can promise God something. Say, Lord, if you do this, I want to let you know, Lord, I'm promising you to do this. We ask your blessings. God say, fine. You keep your vows, he'll probably bless you. But in a covenant contract, both parties are obligated. And God's not obligated to bless me because I make a covenant with him. He might. So what I'm saying, he made a covenant with Abraham and his seed, not with the pilgrims and their seed. Now, having said that, I say that because some people want to make America the covenant nation. We're not a covenant nation. There's only one nation that's ever a covenant nation. That's Israel. And now that you become a born-again Christian, you become part of a holy nation, a new people, a whole kingdom of priests, the church of the living God, composed of all those who are repentant, born-again people. You are the new nation with whom he has a covenant, the new covenant in Christ. Now, there are very, very providential happenings in our nation. Don't think God's going to raise us up with the kind of wealth and sources and supplies we have, and we say, ho-hum to God. Best thing to do is the Marshall Plan after World War II, we rebuilt all of Europe. We rebuilt Japan. And I know this counts with God for something, not that we're on a point work system, but because this is kind of morality and civilness that God at least honors. He respects nations for not bashing somebody and grind them out and then leave them dead and gone. So that we have some kindness from the Father because of this. Now, having said that, I want you to understand that when we're talking about putting on the armor and all this kind of stuff, it's not just, and it's certainly for your own private life. It's certainly for your family. It most certainly is for this church or any other church of God. It is certainly for our overseas workers. And especially when fields open up, they come in direct contact with evil forces and demons who seek to hurt them and destroy them. And I could name you a place right now we're very interested in. And worker after worker has come home sick from working with that one specific people. And they said, pray that our workers won't get sick. It's a direct demonic attack. It's couple after couple gotten sick working with that group. And we have to say, we put on the armor, we're in the heavenlies, and we're going to bash that back, oh Lord. It's okay to hate Satan. It's a holy wrath. We're insulted by this thing, Father. We bring the name of Christ to bear in this field. We bring thy name in and press back darkness and sickness and affliction. So that we're equipping ourselves by the armor of God so that we can press on in our own homes, and our families, and break anything on this church or anything else that someone tried to put on us. Praise God. Yeah. That's what we're here for. As I tell you, you're all military. You're not civilians once you become a Christian. And we're in it for the duration, by the way. That was a phrase you always just say. These big signs up. No more sugar except by stamps for the duration. Everybody knew what? The duration of the war. Stamps for shoes, stamp for sugar. The stamps for meat. I remember my mother went down and got some horse meat one day. That's all the meat they were serving in the store that day. Didn't taste too bad. However, it was very dangerous because I had that piece of meat sandwich, that horse meat sandwich, going down my throat. My brother yelled, whoa, and I nearly choked to death. That was a story. But the horse meat was true. Now, therefore we see we put on the whole armor of God. These are spiritual knowledges. So these are attitudes of the heart that we have, which is resiliency, you see. Okay. Matthew, didn't know I was going to call on you today, did you? Would you help me today, Matthew? Would you help me today? Would you please come up? You bet. Sorry, no money today. I'm sorry about that. All right, Matthew, you know what that is?
A bulletproof vest.
It's a bulletproof vest. Right? I think it's your size. Let's give it a try. Attaboy, let's see if you get you pulled in here now. Get you. We don't need bullets winging around. You got to do it right. I got told by the guy that knows and wears this how to do this. Sounds like a ripoff. Now, turn around. That's ATF. That stands for all the fun. All right? Stands for a lot of stuff. Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Now, when they put these men out on the street, to have a search warrant used, or to make an arrest, they wear these things, and you know why. The man walking the beat, the cop walking the beat, will have his on under his shirt, a little bit different than this. Now, I want you to know, Matthew, that this will stop a bullet of any handgun, and there's some big handguns out there. 357 Magnum, 44 Magnum, there's one bigger, I forgot, found it up in Maine last year. Big, big handgun. And it can hit here, and you won't even be hurt. Isn't that okay? Mm-hmm. And I want you to know, I brought a handgun this morning so that we're going to... You still want to be part of it? Will I get my... I forgot it. Aren't you fortunate? All right. The man who invented this stuff called Kevlar took a picture of himself, or they had pictures taken of him, standing on one foot and putting the gun next to his this and banging it away, didn't even knock him over. I don't understand that. That's mind-boggling to me. So he had so much confidence in the product, he went, boom! And I guess that proves you trust his work, right? Now, if that's the case, it might have hit you, I mean, it shouldn't hurt, right?
Okay.
You feel that?
Kind of,
oh. Just stay with the script, please. It's all right. Now, you know, when the Bible says put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's what we're talking about. Because the first thing Satan's going to try to erode out of you is, who are you to think that Jesus loves you? You know what you did and you're a Christian? You're not a real Christian, and you know you are. God is not going to use you because think of how perverted you are. Think of how you've failed him so many times. And on, with the fiery darts of unbelief, wacko, 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 trying to get in. But listen, with the breastplate of righteousness, you know this. Christ, my righteousness, is my breastplate. I thank God that the blood of Christ is the only and the eternally accepted virtues before the Father. His righteousness is acceptable. Now notice, Matthew, this is something we put on you. It's not part of you. And so Scripture says, put on the Lord Jesus. Put on his righteousness. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's something other than we are and have that God gives us in his Son, but he wraps us in his Son. And you may, as long as you abide in this thing, those bullets aren't going to get you, man. They'll never get you. Because of his righteousness. And listen, children of God, when you stand there righteous in Christ, the Father sees you righteous in Christ, and the darts aren't supposed to have any effect on you because the breastplate of righteousness says, sorry, I know I'm righteous in him, not righteous in myself. Will someone say amen?
Amen.
And praise God. Give the Lord a clap offering, will you please? And please notice in the back, you're safe in the back too. Even if you have to, if you feel like you're fleeing sometimes, Lord, I'm running. So no, I won't get you there either. Just believe on me and I'll get you turned around. We'll get you going this way again. Don't you worry about that. Matthew, thank you so much. Will you give him a hand too for helping me this morning? Thanks, Matthew. Where would I be with all these young people that help me, huh? You pray for Jim Slauson. He wears that when he has to. And, let me see. One thing. Why don't you come up here? Come up, Matthew. Yeah. You worked hard today. Okay?
Thanks.
Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough money?
Mm-hmm.
How much is it? Tell them how much money that's worth.
$3.
$3. Oh, don't you like $3? Then it's $3, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't mind three, do you? Beats two. Beats one. You want it?
Sure.
Can't have it. Folks, that's a $3 bill. Will you please finish the sentence for me? As phony as? That's what the devil tries to do to you. Give you phony $3 bills. All right, now, see if I got any of the real stuff here. Just a minute. I'll tell you what, you're lucky. I'll have small as a five, and you got a $5 bill. There you go, it's a real one. The rest is devil's money. How many of you here this morning living for $3 bills? The man that gave me that in the first service, he's already passed it three times at a bank. Yeah. It went to the bank and they took it on him. It just, the person at the bank, let me back off that. I think he said a bank, I know he passed it two or three times. He got the change for $1.50 at a store for it. Well, I kid you not. Do our kids know math? I mean, come on now. He passed it twice, friend passed it twice, got change for it. He said, look, you better go back and look at that. It's a $3 bill. Oh, it is. Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen, this is what the person said. Well, I've seen a $2 bill, but I've never seen a $3. Truth. What are you going to ooh and ah about? It's what Satan does. Imagine that. Now, put on the helmet of salvation. You know, there's no such thing as a $3 bill around. And trick of the enemy. Breastplate of his righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Taking the shield of faith. The Roman soldier had two kinds of shields. They had the small circular shield for the light infantry. This is thrust, parry, thrust, parry. I mean, they ran and boom, boom, boom. The other guys, they have the thoras, the big, the 2.5 foot wide by 4 foot deep shield. They put those babies like so. Then they'd have their 12 to 16 foot length spears. And they would go shoulder to shoulder and lock shoulders and arms together and go like this with these things out in front. I mean, it looked like a moving porcupine, all right? And as they move forward, safely duck behind this, and they would be sweeping, and with their feet in the sandals of power with studded nails, they're not going to lose their footing. And the enemy, it was not uncommon in those days for there to be combustibly tipped missiles, arrows and javelins. And they're winging them over, these guys with the spears, with the shields, wood with leather over it, many times anointed with oil to make it slippery. Glancing blows. And if these missiles stuck in, twang, it would quench itself into the wood in which it came. Twang, whoop, into the wood, it would sink itself in and quench itself. That's what faith is. Now look, Jesus, I know you can say right now, Lord, I know I'm in your army. I expect, Lord, to be some conflict. I thank you, I'm seated with you. And I get twanged, but I know I believe you and I love you. And no matter what happens, I know, Father, you love me. My faith and confidence is in you. And I quench this fiery dart. I quench these nagging doubts. I quench this fact that you're guilty, perverse, beset with sin. I quench these things because I have faith and confidence in you by the word of God. Now you can understand that these fiery doubts are many times unaccountable impulses to doubt. Horrid accusations of God, boom, out of the blue. Sudden drives to immorality. Clouding and mesmerizing of the mind. Sudden bursts of rage and anger for no accountable reason. Physical pain, medically unexplained and continuing, and many times moves in different parts of the body. Many of these were experienced by Charles Finney, Martin Luther, John Bunyan, who write with great honesty and openness that they came to understand the attacks of the enemy on them. Faith, thought life, and salvation, Lord, you'll see me through. I stand here in conflict. I bless your name. The thought life, of course, remember I said, make every thought that wants to stay at home in your mind show its ID card. Is it true? Whatsoever thing is true. Think on these things. And taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to underline several verses I'm going to give you, which, to my mind, is certainly the major tool and weapon in our spiritual warfare. It's very important, and God brought this home to me many years ago when I was in Chicago. And if he hadn't permitted me to come under and my family with me, a much attack, I'd never know anything about what I'm talking about or have a basis for learning. But this was the way out for me, and I want to share it with you, is to share it with any of God's children. It's not that profound, but it is that necessary. Please turn to John chapter 14. And I want you to underline these verses. John chapter 14, verse 13. And Jesus speaking, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. In my name. Chapter 14, verse 14. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask. And underline, I should really say this phrase, in my name. John 16, 23. In that day you will no longer ask me anything, he says, because you'll know what I'm talking about. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Verse 24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you receive that your joy may be full. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. Now folks, I end most all of my prayers with the phrase, these things I ask in Jesus' name. There's nothing wrong with that, and if you do it, we're all doing it. But I want to explain a word to you, that to pray in Jesus' name does not simply mean to put the spiritual signature at the end of your prayers by using the proper name of our Lord Jesus. The more we understand this phrase, in his name, it means that Jesus would do what I'm going to do with his power here now if he were here. Let me say that again. It means that when you minister in his name, you will do what Jesus would do if he were there with his power in this circumstance. So that you become a fleshed out version of the living Christ in this circumstance to this specific area of need. That takes time many times to get the mind of God before you do that. I may use his name all the time. Well, I prayed for a lot of people this morning in Jesus' name, amen. Nothing wrong. The deepening and profundity of that is found in John 14, 15, and 16, is to know him and how he responds to a given situation like that, and more than this, to currently know that his indwelling life presently now here in you is functioning through you, his life, to the problem here now. Sometimes that means standing there, and just like a snowblower on a hair blower on a snowball. Remember, I did this about 3 winters ago. I illustrated this. And I had a hair dryer, and I had the guy bring me in a pan of snow from out there. And I said, okay, plug it in. The thing revved up, started throwing hot air, and I just held that on the snow till the snow gave way and melted in the light of a superior in the heat of a superior force. And when you come to pray in Jesus' name, and this is what that verse is all about, many times you're holding the power and the authority of Jesus' name to bear on the unbelief of a loved one, on the unbelieving child or husband or spouse, because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine into their heart and they should be saved. And that's why I'm teaching you and sharing with you again that when we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, we have the authority by his precious name to stand against that unbelief, and for by faith to have the blinders ripped off their eyes by faith, and for them to be free to make a choice. You're not taking away free will. And you're not making a choice for them. You're providing the occasion whereby they may see clearly and be inclined to choose properly. Otherwise, they walk around blinded, happy with anything and everything that doesn't need Jesus as a central part in their life. They'll even settle for religion. But not so in the use and the power of Jesus' name. Because You stand in that spot to represent Christ, period. Number two, you stand in that spot as a conveyor of the life of Christ in you. Number three, you stand there as someone through whom he may minister, actually just because it's his life coming on through again. And Jesus went with them everywhere working miracles. Jesus working with them and in them. So every one of you are God-bearers. That's why, is anybody here named Christopher? Any Christophers? Got one in the back. Christopher, that means Christo, Christ, Pharaoh, to bear. You are a Christ-bearer. And all of you are Christophers in the sense you bear Christ where you go. You bring the life of Christ with you. He lives in you. So when you go to a circumstance, Christ may feel like doing something in that circumstance, living in you. And depending on what your gifts and walk with God is in the circumstance, you will minister there, whether it's peace or comfort or healing, whatever else you may be able to give. Generosity or kindness or hospitality, whatever. So it's in his name. So that when you come, these forces, these demons don't care about Reverend Murdoch. They don't care if you've got a reverend for your name, a bishop or anything else. They don't care. They care when they recognize somebody out there, me, you, whoever, who knows the authority of his name, and we bring the name of Christ to bear, and we bring to bear his victory upon this circumstance, upon this person. Sometimes we've got to know the mind of God and know how to make it fit some circumstances. You're never wrong to pray. Sometimes I don't know how to pray, but I know to pray, though I may not know how to pray. Don't worry about that. Just pray and let Jesus Christ recycle the prayers. He'll put it down there the right way. Right? All right. Now, running out of money, I've got to be careful with these illustrations. Matthew, since I paid you once, I gave you double wages, so I'm going to use you again. Would you come up, please? Thank you so much for being a helper today. All right, Michael. Matthew, excuse me. Do you know what that is?
A credit card?
It's a credit card. Is it worth anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know how to use a thing like that?
Not really.
Well, you go to a store and you buy something, you put it on the counter and say, put on this charge. Is that okay? That's how it works?
Okay.
Okay. Suppose I gave you this. You take it. Not for long, but take it now. And suppose I send you down to Toys R Us or Nintendo TV games. Could you use it?
Yeah.
Could you buy something with it?
Yes.
Yeah. And you'd put that in the counter and they'd put on that car, on that charge, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to pay for that?
You.
Yeah. You got that right. Don't have to coach him when it comes to that. Whose name's on that thing anyway?
Yours.
That's right. So let's pretend you come up to the Nintendo and you like that $40 game and you and I, and here's the first and get rid of all this stuff. This is the counter right here, and you'd say, I want to buy that Nintendo game. You say that.
I want to buy that Nintendo game.
I say, and then what else are you going to say? You're going to put that card down, you're going to say what?
Could you charge it on that?
Then he's going to say, I sure can. And he checks it and he gives it back to you. And how come, you see, he's going to check it, he's going to find it's valid, and you're using my name to get something done. Not your name. It doesn't go to your name, does it?
No.
You're not going to pay that, are you? I'm going to pay that. That's why I'm not going to give it to you, because things could happen. But that's how it works. Thank you. You've earned your money today. You see? When you go to a situation and you represent Jesus, you go in his name. It's on his account. He's already, look, that's worth about, I know, I've never used it that much. My wife and I we never pay any penny interest in this stuff. You poor souls all paying 16% interest blows me away. And some of you are paying 18% interest. And if you don't know what that stacks up to, ask Pastor Mort, he'll tell you. We pay the first month, we carry it for convenience and emergencies, and we pay everything the first month. That's the only reason I'm carrying them. So don't think we live on these things. You gotta put them in the oven and bake them if you are, and then throw them away to do good shape. Now, well, when this happens, it goes on this account. Jesus came with the whole thing paid. He suffered, he died, he arose from the dead, he ascended to the Father's right hand, and he's on the throne, he puts us with us, and he says, use my name. In my name, in my name, in my name, understand. Just like Matthew had a little coaching to help him understand how to use a credit card. I tell you, for years, I didn't know how to use Jesus' name. I ended all my prayers with it, and I appreciated it, respected him. But I didn't know that you come. And by the way, when you come to Ephesians 10 through 20, and I'm not trying to impress you, and I told you last week, I can't remember which service. I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. One runs a delicatessen, and the other's a tailor. And, but, all right, thank you. But when you read through this, in the Greek, you keep finding the word pros, and it's, you'll know this one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hear me. And the Word was with God. And it says this, and the Word was pros God. Face to face. Equality of the Son, you see? And it's the same preposition down all the way, about five times through this whole conflict in Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. It says, stand when you pros the devil. Stand when you pros these forces. Stand when you pros. This is a confrontation. I didn't know you could use Jesus' name and say in Jesus' name, back off. In Jesus' name, get off. Hallelujah. I tell you, there was another dimension when God led us into that. I want you to give Jesus Christ a hand. And that's why he said, and that's why I gave you. I'll tell you, when we first got hit with this thing back in Chicago, and God very mercifully led me to 14, 15, and 16 of Matthew, of John, and I began to see, in my name. And I began to realize this is more than just signing off, you know, off and over, Lord. Off and over, no. It was standing in him, with him, through him, by him, pros against this circumstance. These kid demons are not going to whack my kids around anymore. Now, I don't mind, I mean, sore throat's one thing, and they got to sneeze. Well, I'm talking about the stuff that's over and beyond that, that I get a wind at. Not that it couldn't be that, but when you get a wind that is something here more than natural. And then we just had, I knew that much, zero, and God has led us slowly, slowly up to understand more than that, and I want you to understand that. Because of principalities and powers in foreign nations, for our own nation, for our own church, for our workers on many, many foreign fields, for your home, and for your private life. That whenever the need arises along that line, say, Jesus, your name, it's your name, it's your name, Lord. You're using his credit, his power, his authority, his capacities, just like you use a credit card if someone gives it to you, and they're valid people. Isn't that precious?
Amen.
I'm going to close the service now in just 2 minutes. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, quietly and silently in our own hearts now, we're going to do what we've been talking about. When you have a congregation of several hundred here this morning like this, there are many people who are oppressed and don't even know it. Or they know they're oppressed, but they don't know why. There are people here with some afflictions that they've taken to be physical, and they don't know it, but some of them are spiritually caused. They don't know it. I didn't know a lot of things. So, silently in our own hearts this morning, every child of God who's a believer here, we're going to say, Dear Jesus, we're going to say, we bring your authority to bear to deliver anybody and everyone in this place. If anybody's got a problem that's demonically caused, and they want to love you and walk with you, they're not walking disobedience, they're not going to say, I'm going to do my own thing, that's your problem. And furthermore, Satan loves that kind of a lifestyle, he'd get right at you. We're going to ask God's blessing to free anybody here from things they don't know. And I expect people to be set free this morning, didn't know what happened. Sometimes you're going to feel a thing lift from you. Sometimes you're going to realize it doesn't bother you tomorrow morning. Sometimes you're going to realize this week, I haven't had that for 3 days. And I want you to know it's going to be the corporate body praying in that wonderful name that's above every name, in my name, that he will exercise his authority by your believing prayer to touch people. Some with depression that won't go away, don't know why. All kind of stuff. We don't have to know. Jesus is here. You're here. His name is available for his people. And we're going to pray for the corporate blessing and release of anybody that needs it in this room as they want to follow God and obey him. Amen? Then let's pray. And I will give a sample prayer to begin with, and then you pray that in your own heart in any way God shows you. Dear Jesus, say it with me. Dear Jesus, we honor your wonderful name. The name above every name. The name that's victorious,
the name that's victorious
by your blood and your resurrection and your ascension
and your enthronement.
In Jesus' name,
we free everyone
and anyone who loves you and who wishes to walk with you this very day in this place. We free them from every depression, every physical difficulty, every mind game, and set them free. Glorify your name. Deliver us from the evil one. Give us our armor, O Lord. We take it and use your name. Amen and amen. I want you to pray for the next minute in your own heart. Just continue to plead his great, marvelous, precious blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives dear unto the death for the good of the whole body this morning. God may even give you the name of some affliction that you should pray for. May not give the name of the person, but he gave the name of the affliction. And two or three have come to my mind. I'm not trying to create them. And asking God to rebuke these things. And you see, the Father in heaven has put you all into a healing ministry for the corporate good. Many are gifted with gifts of healing, but how marvelous that the body can minister healing corporately to the body. And we're going to do this more frequently in the future. I've got to close the meeting. I'm even hesitant to do so, but for early in the service, I do a lot more of this. Dear Father, I thank you for every child of God who has, see now, he's in the armor of God, that they have access to your name. We're not walking up to that counter wondering if we can buy the thing. We have Jesus' name. And that we want to be taught by your Spirit how to apply that in every circumstance. Now speak freedom to all your Israel here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and your friendship group tonight.